John, I must just say that my kids think you're a very cool teacher. And Pat wants to know where you teach because he wants to go there. So, as we said earlier, we're in a series called Taking Ground. And we're essentially looking at the book of Joshua as an example of how God led a nation from the place of enslavement to the promised land, and how he helped them to take ground and take new territory. And there's a particular focus today on the first chapter of Joshua, verses 1 to 9, and just asked if we could put this up as Joshua 1 verse 9, which is the sort of crux of it, as God essentially commissions Joshua, and he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I think it's a well-known verse, but if we could just read, I'm going to read from Joshua 1 to verse 9, just to give a little bit more meat to that verse. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate it. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And again, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So, this is really quite a special verse for me. About 12, 13 years ago, Andrew and I did a course that the church was offering to try and find what your calling might be and what you should really be focusing on in your life. And part of that course was going away for the weekend. And so we all trudged off to, I forget exactly where it was, somewhere up in the mountains, and we were there on a Friday afternoon. And the pastor who was leading it was a guy called Scott Hamilton. And he invited any of us who were keen to join him in the morning as the sun rose to pray and just to read and worship God. So there were three of us that arrived, Scotty and myself and a guy called James Beckley. And we went, and as the sun was rising, we were praying and just thanking God for his beautiful creation. And I suddenly had impressed on me in a significant way that I needed to read Joshua 1 verse 9. And I probably had seen the verse before, but I certainly couldn't recite it, and I at that stage didn't know what was there. And so we opened the Bible and we read the verse, and it was very encouraging, and we read about it. And later that we went back and we had breakfast, and as we were leaving for the day's activities, part of it was just being alone and meditating on the word and going through some exercises to try and understand what God had sort of called us to do. And the ministry, the leadership gave us each a verse. And I was quite excited to see what my verse was. And I opened and it was Joshua 1 verse 9. And I actually felt quite disappointed, because I thought it was almost like a bit of a cheap shot from the pastor, because he had heard me in the morning about my verse and he had given it to me again, you know. So I thought, well, I don't know, I sort of wanted something more. And so at lunchtime I said to Scotty, "You know, Scotty, obviously you decided that after hearing me this morning it was quite a good verse." And he said, "No man, we prayed all week for each person on this course and a verse for them. And that verse was put in that envelope on Friday morning before we left." And so when you had that impression on Saturday, it was just confirmation of what. So I've realized in my life that, and I've often had to remind myself of this verse, and it's been a huge encouragement to me. So it's a great privilege to be able to preach on it today, and hopefully give you some insight into what I think God tells us through this passage. So, as we started this series, Erwin and Tony both have given us sort of introductory sort of preparation. And Erwin did a really great job of explaining that Joshua had come from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So that whole mindset, their family, their everything about the people around them was sort of a slave mentality. And so God had to place in him a vision and a mission that would help him ignite a passion to do what God had called him to do. And so not only did he have to sort of break that mentality, but he also put him in a position where he was Moses' assistant for 40 years. So he spent a lot of time being an assistant, observing Moses and doing the little things. And I think there's such a lesson in that, you know, that to not be discouraged when you're doing small things or have small assignments, as Joshua did for 40 years being an assistant. And then Tony explained so well in his sermon last week about the significance of the Israelites leaving Egypt, a place of slavery, a terrible place, of being caught up in a sort of wicked regime. And how metaphorically for us, as we get saved by Christ, we leave that place of enslavement, being enslaved to sin. And also just how important it is biblically that we have these sort of, there's history, obviously, that we see a historical event, and then metaphorically the how we see it applying to our own lives in being freed from that sin. But most importantly in reading the word, that it's a living word and that it needs to live and be in us and being able to apply it personally. So as we sort of now lead into this part, as God commissions Joshua, I just really challenge you to make it personal. So firstly, what is your mission? I think that's, it's so important to have that clear in your mind. And I know it's not so easy, because I know for many years I've sort of wrestled with what is my mission. But I believe that if you ask God and you continually pray for it and you spend time, that he will put a mission and a vision in your mind. And also Tony touched on it last week, just, you know, sometimes we're looking for huge, amazing sort of visions and missions, which is great, obviously, but it's also to be faithful in those small things. And part of the mission and vision might just be being a church on Sunday and equipping ourselves through the word and through being together. And so it's being, as we seek that ultimate mission in our own lives, it's just to be faithful in the small little missions that we have every week. The second thing is, I believe once you've sort of determined what your mission might be, is the probably the first reaction is to say, I'm not equipped for this. And it's not a new excuse. Moses did it a couple of thousand years ago when God said to him that he needed to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he said, well, I'm a shepherd. I'm roaming around the desert looking after sheep. And I mean, we all know the story, but essentially when Moses laid down what he had, which was a shepherd's staff, it became the staff of God. So God could use what he had, and he had equipped Moses, probably through his time of growing up with Pharaoh and in his palace. He would have been equipped with military strategy and all sorts of things that he didn't even realize he had. And so when I'm preparing to share the word, let's ask God to maybe give me some examples of things along the way, and that I could hopefully use practically. And on Friday, I was chatting to a guy in the gym in the morning, and completely out of nowhere, he said to me, have you ever heard of the pistol shrimp? I said, no, I've never heard of the pistol shrimp. And he told me a bit about it, and he said, you should Google it. And so on Saturday morning, Jess and I Googled the pistol shrimp. And this little shrimp lives at the bottom of the ocean. And it's got one claw that's bigger than the other. And literally it looks like it's got a mechanism that looks like a pistol. And it literally cocks the hammer back like you would a pistol or a revolver. And it takes aim at its prey. which is actually normally another type of shrimp. And when this little, and now this new technology where they can slow the frames down to like 10,000 frames per second, this clamp hits with such force, the water comes out of it with such force that it actually goes below it causes basically a vacuum in the water. It's below the polarization value of water. And it forms this vacuum. All the bubbles of the water come in at such force that it's at 200 decibels, which is louder than a pistol shot. There's heat generated equivalent to 8,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is similar to the surface of the sun. And this sound wave basically travels, this bullet, and it hits the prey. And I mean, you see it on the thing, and it just, the thing just collapses. And it goes off, and it grabs it, and it eats it. And what I just thought was so incredible about that is if God understands what a little shrimp at the bottom of the ocean needs to survive and thrive, I can promise you he's equipped you with everything you could possibly wish for in order to accomplish your mission. So that's why I'm talking about a pistol shrimp in the middle of the sermon. That's, go and Google it. But as I say, just when you don't think you've been equipped, think about that. I mean, it is just phenomenal. And then really you have to decide that you want to go on the path that God has prepared for you. You know, you have to make that decision. God has gone before you. He's prepared a path. And it's really deciding that that's where you're going to go. It goes on to a number of points that I've made. Just I've basically got 6 points to sort of derive from this, having sort of introduced it. But essentially it ties in with the fact that God has gone before you. And so, again, last week in Tony's preaching, he spoke about the fact that even though the Israelites were surrounded by God, they had a cloud during the day, they had fire at night, they had manna falling from heaven, there were still people that were willing or wishing to go back to Egypt. It is incredible. We are also surrounded by the signs of God all the time. It may not be a cloud or a pillar of light, but there will be signs all the time that we're surrounded by God. And we know that he's gone before us. So you have to make that decision, actually, that you want to go where God's gone and that you don't want to go back into Egypt, essentially. The next point was, in verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you. Okay, so it was a bit of a sort of paradigm shift for me when I kind of got around the fact that God has gone ahead of us in this territory. God had gone ahead of the Israelites. He said, I've gone ahead of you, basically. Wherever you set your foot, you will take possession. So there's this incredible concept or truth, that whatever you want to call it, that God has actually gone ahead of you on this path that he's prepared for you. And all you have to do is really claim it. I mean, there's obviously some work associated with that, and you have to take possession of it. But the fact of the matter is, he's done the hard work. He's taken that possession. And so I think also, sometimes when we visualize a mission and taking ground, it's in sort of big, kind of grand ways. But in fact, it might be in very sort of small ways, supposedly small ways, but important ways. It might be, you know, on a personal level for me, I find certain areas in my life it quite easy to be big and bold and courageous and kind of taking ground, and whether it be in work or maybe it was on the sports field, like it's quite easy to get yourself G'd up. But maybe there's an area in your relationship that needs some work. And suddenly you go from this big courageous lion to a little mouse and your heart's pounding, and you realize that there's territory there that God's been in that you need to now go in and take possession. And actually it's just quietly sort of not obvious to everybody else. It's just something in your life where you need to take ground. And I had that also, a huge sense of that recently with a friend of mine that passed away. But I had quite a bit of time with him before that, as he sort of had this huge struggle with cancer. And I just really felt very strongly that I needed to spend time with him and to talk to him. But when I did, I had this massive sense, a huge sense, that God had been there before me. It was just a case of, I don't know, it felt like he was at the top of the hill and he just needed a little push. He just needed to be a couple of things. And he was just so ready to hear what God had for him. And so I think, you know, those are kind of areas where we really need to look at taking ground and to ask for courage and to be courageous. And to just remind yourself, as I said from verse 5, that no one will be able to stand against you. And to have that confidence. In verse 7, and I just want to read it. It says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful." So, essentially, God's confirming, he's commissioning Joshua. He's telling him that he'll be with him wherever he goes. But he's also giving him some instructions here. And I know that it could just about be another whole service talking about the law. And I know we've got the New Testament and that we've got grace. And it's incredible. But really, the grace that the Holy Spirit gives us is empowering us to be everything that God's called us to be. But also to be able to do everything, to try and live according to the laws that God has given us. And I read through those 10 commandments again this morning. And you know, really, there's nothing there that anyone could argue that's not a wonderful, great law for society. And if everybody lived according to those laws, we'd have an incredible society and a wonderful place to live. And there's 10 rules, essentially, within the commandments. So he's saying to Joshua, obey those laws. I think it would be very difficult to be courageously taking new ground if in the background there's an obvious breaking of some of the laws, whether it be stealing or having an affair or murdering. You know, there are some pretty basic laws there. So I think he's made it quite clear for Joshua that there are those laws in place in order for him to give him a framework to stand by. So, based also on that, he says, do not turn to the left or the right. So I had a bit of a picture of this, of running again on Kwawula. They've cut these beautiful paths through the felt. And when you're on that path, it's actually quite relatively easy to run. I say relative, it's a lot easier for Andrea to run than me at the moment. I don't know why. I went for a run the other day and she had to come back and fetch me. But when you're running along the path, you see this felt next to you, and it's actually quite beautiful. And it's that sort of golden, I think. Sometimes they call it love grass. It's kind of like they use in the movies, you know. And I've done it before, where there's just this temptation to go off the path, and you start running through this grass. And initially, there's sort of this lovely feeling of freedom, but then you realize this grass is actually quite uncomfortable. And then there's some brambles you didn't see. So now you've caught up in these things and you're bleeding and you're torn and you're sort of carrying on and then you sort of get through that and you're powering on and then you fall into a warthog hole and now you're actually desperate and you kind of crawl back to the path and you're so relieved to be back on that path. Okay, but you're bleeding, you're sore, and you've lost probably 4 or 5 minutes. And that's a bit like what happens in life. You're going along this path and suddenly there's this temptation. And I mean, Tony again spoke about it in the prodigal son. He basically gave in to his carnal desires. He desired to wanting to be back in Egypt. So he took off the path to the left or the right, whatever it might be. And unfortunately, it's a painful experience. And so you can be forgiven. You'll get back on the path. But there's a consequence. You'll be leading. You've lost some, bleeding. You've lost some time. And why do it? You know? So I think it's just, again, it was advice given to Joshua, do not turn to the left or right. In verse 8, he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And it links, obviously, to the previous points. God talks about meditating day and night on the word. And I think if you're meditating day and night on the word, it'll be much harder to disobey the law. It'll be much harder to turn left or right off the path that God's prepared for you. I heard this once, actually, from a guy that wasn't a farmer, but I thought it was a great example. He talked about the fact that when cattle graze, and it's actually quite fascinating to watch cows graze. Well, maybe it's only for some of us it's fascinating, but do yourself a favor. And so cows, they basically wrap their tongue around the grass when they graze, like it's a sort of little mechanism they have, and they rip it up and they put it in their mouth, and they chew the cud. So they chew the grass, it goes into their tummies, it comes back out. It goes back into their tummies. That's called chewing the cud. Okay? And they're ruminants. So basically they have the ability to draw all the nutrients they possibly can out of the grass. You and I eat grass, there's basically no nutrient value. We can't really absorb it. Yet a cow can, because that's how God's made it. And so they chew the cud and they ruminate. And so it is with the word. One needs to read it and sort of almost chew the cud. Like, think about it and take it out and bring it back in and just try and get everything you can out of it. And I think that's what God's encouraging Joshua to do here. Is if you're going to lead this nation and you're going to be fighting wars and you're crossing rivers, and it's you need to meditate on the word. And that's really what we need to do on a daily basis, is chew the cud, meditate on the word day and night. And then finally, as we come into verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong?" Okay, so that's the first part of the verse. What does it mean to be strong? So obviously there's a physical strength where you're strong, you can pick up things and throw things around. But in this sense, the Cambridge Dictionary defines it as the ability or being able to withstand force, pressure, or wear. Okay, so he's saying be strong. Be able to withstand force, pressure, or wear, which implies that it's going to come. Okay, but he's commanding you, be strong. Be strong. Be resistant to that. Okay, the next part is be strong and then courageous. And Erwin said to us that being courageous is just being able to do something that you're scared of doing. Okay, courage is really the opposite of fear. And what is fear? Because he tells us, do not be terrified. Now, being terrified is actually just being really scared. Okay, so fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by threat or danger. Okay, an unpleasant emotion. So God is essentially saying, I've given you this mission. There's going to be times when you have a sense of fear. You're going to be terrified. When you feel that, get rid of that emotion. Get rid of that unpleasant emotion. Okay. You need to, I'm with you. I've equipped you. Get rid of that emotion. Okay, so I've commanded you, be strong. Okay. Be courageous. Do not be terrified. And then do not be discouraged. Okay, so discouraged is having lost confidence or enthusiasm or being disheartened. Okay, so again, a commandment from God to not be discouraged. Now, when we were chatting yesterday with Tony, and I was just going through a few of my thoughts, he's saying that, you know, the fact of the matter is we are going to have discouragement coming at us. I think it's probably the biggest tool that the devil has, is to discourage us. And it just comes in the most incredible ways. It might be somebody, a thoughtless thing someone says, or it might be something you read, or it might be something you see, and suddenly you just start feeling discouraged, and there's this feeling of hopelessness, and you just think, like, what is the point? Like, why? You know, and you can almost see that feeling sometimes in people. And so God is saying, do not feel discouraged. It's going to come at you. But why can you do all these? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, essentially, my feeling is this, that God is commissioning all of us. You need to, when you read this passage again, put your own name in there. Replace Joshua with Tim or Andrea or Tony or Doug or Harvey or Pete. You know, just put yourself in that situation and understand that framework that God gave Joshua, and just remind yourself that you have been commissioned, but the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So be strong and be courageous and do not be discouraged. Amen.
Thanks, Tim, for sharing that lovely word on Joshua 1. It's a great way to get get going into Joshua as we seek to take ground. Let's be strong and courageous, knowing that the Lord will be with us. Your Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. And so as you go out today, let that be in the forefront of your minds, that the Lord is going ahead of you, of each of us, and he is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are such an amazing God. You're a good God. You're a God who goes ahead of us. You're ahead of us. You're behind us. You're with us wherever we go. Thank you for the word that Tim brought, the encouragement that it is. To know that if we are faithful, then you will be faithful too. And beyond that, you are faithful to us, even when we wonder. Lord, we pray that you'd go out with us today. Help us to take ground in our personal lives. Help us to take ground as a church for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Outside.